The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We're Generation X, laughing at the world today. We're getting older, but we're still gonna play.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the hour, an almost 1 hour of unnecessary and unwanted Timmy Springer entertainment. If you can make it past 5 minutes, you win.
There, that's my review of Tim Dillon's latest special on Netflix.
As soon as they brought the rubber butt out, I was like, I'm done.
Well, the rubber butt, I mean, it was Springer. It was Jerry Springer, right? Yeah. The rubber butt, I mean, I know you like rubber butt, but long daddy or whatever he was, and the wife and the girlfriend, and the was that his mom with him? I don't know. I love Tim Dillon. I think he is the best monologist out there. Is that what you say? Monologist? Is that a monologue person? A monologist? Jeff, you come from a speech family.
Yeah.
I even don't like it when he has guests because I just want him. I think he's funny. I think he's very intelligent. And I even like his stand-up, but I didn't like it because it's already been done. But maybe I missed out by not watching the whole thing. Jeff, did you watch all of it?
No.
Steph?
I couldn't. As soon as she came out yelling, I was done.
Dustin?
No. I've watched clips, but it all looks the same. It all looks like an episode of Springer from 20 years ago.
Your husband brought you here today because he wants to confess something to you.
Okay.
And we're going to let him take it away.
So, you know, to come clean, I did lose, around $200,000 of our money.
And Springer had its time, but we've gone past that time because we have all sorts of things. We have TikTok. We don't need Jerry Springer. And, well, I wish him well, and I think he should do something else. AOL.com says that his special, This Is Your Country, is nostalgic and timely trash. Maybe I ought to give it a second view.
Yeah, you guys let me know how it is.
If you're nostalgic for the trash, I'm not.
Oh, I loved it.
I'm not nostalgic for it.
I loved it, but he could do better. But that's the thing. Maybe it's him. He's being meta. He knows that he can do better, but he doesn't have to, because part of his whole shtick is that the country is collapsing. And given the recent things that have happened, maybe he's not wrong. So maybe I ought to give it a second chance. I came at it awfully harsh. And Tim, I know you're watching Radio Labyrinth. You do every week.
Yeah.
Fans just cascade toward us. There's a lot of closeness when it comes to our types of shows that we do. And I know that, you know, Tim Dillon would love this show if he were to watch it, I'm sure. I just don't think that we need more Springer. I do feel bad now that I came out so harshly. And I do think I should probably watch the whole thing before I make judgment, but I couldn't finish it. I was like, I got better things to do.
We don't need proof that the people of this country are pieces of crap. I go out in the world, I see it.
Right.
I mean, maybe some people are nostalgic for that, or maybe if you're, 18-year-old and you've never seen Jerry Springer, this is all new to you.
It is. Yeah. I mean, his audience, they don't know Springer. The younger end of his audience, they do not know Springer. Springer went off the air, what, 2000s?
Yeah, and it's not just Springer. I mean, Jenny Jones. I used to watch Jenny Jones all the time. Mm-hmm.
But nothing was as good as Springer. Nothing was good for the fighting. He made that movie that we went and saw in the movie theater, Jeff. That wasn't really him, but I don't know. And then
Geraldo. There was a lot of chair smack. There was a lot of craziness on Geraldo.
Yeah, but those were Klan guys throwing shit around and, you know.
What about Morton Downey Jr.?
Depended on a guy like you, New Jersey's preeminent lawyer, I'd find my ass in the crapper for the rest of my life.
Morton Downey Jr. Again, it was when Al Sharpton was a big fat dude who had a pompadour and wore medallions and sweatsuits because he was so fat he couldn't wear a suit.
Phil Donahue.
Phil Donahue didn't have anything like that. That's why people quit watching Phil Donahue, because he was like talking about policy. And Oprah. Oprah wasn't ever like this. There weren't people throwing chairs. Oprah, you put your hand under the chair and you got a car or something.
You just jump on the couch and you get a free car.
Yeah. So I do feel bad, though, because I like him so much. But I loved trash TV in the 90s. I absolutely loved staying up late and watching Springer. I also liked WWE wrestling in the 90s. That's my favorite era, the Attitude Era. For the early to mid 90s, it sucked. The 80s, it was awesome. The early 90s absolutely sucked when it came to Vince McMahon and the WWE. Once that Attitude Era kicked in, it was amazing. It kicked the shit out of WCW, and the rest is history. Just like Vince McMahon's career, the rest is history. There is no more history. But I went into a deep McMahon hole, and after he pooped on me. I have been immersed. This happens to me. I pick up on one thing in the wrestling world and then I'm done. Because I like Jim Cornette too, who was a creative guy. Do you guys remember Jim Cornette? He always wore the flashy suits, and he had the tennis racket, and he was on the
Dark Side of the Rings.
Yes. And he's very, very frank about his beliefs in things and very open about how he feels about people. I watched this whole documentary. I couldn't stop watching it. Six episodes. So there's 6 hours. Beginning with his earlier career. And I felt like there was a lot of stuff left out. And I felt like initially, if the allegations hadn't come out and he hadn't been forced to leave for the second time, WWE, that it would have been a puff piece. All the people that had accused him of things that had gotten him into trouble over the years, that he's simply swept under the rug or got away with, they weren't really there to tell their tale that much. And I don't know if you guys watched it at all.
Aren't they dead?
Not all of them.
Wasn't that the one guy's point?
Well, some of them are. But the women that he allegedly had things with. But it got me into, okay, well, I wonder what Jim Cornette thinks about this. And he does a podcast, him and some other guy, and I guess they do it over Zoom. And he had like 1 hour breakdowns of each episode where he talked about it and reacted to it. So I got into that. And then I found out Eric Bischoff had one. So that's
I'd like to hear his.
Bischoff's is good. There's a guy that started a wrestling magazine in the 90s who's still going. That's a part of the whole thing. But
what does Vinny Bucci have to say about it? That's all I care about.
Well, Vinny Bucci, for people who don't know, Vinny Bucci is a comedian, and I guess he does some marketing stuff. But he has been doing podcasts about wrestling for years and years and years, and he was pranked. By the Howard Stern show. The Stern producers used Joe Buck clips to prank his show, and he thought it was me. Because I used to prank the shit out of his show. I'd just call up and drop plates and go, WWE. Everything now is like wrestling was, and Stern was, and Jerry Springer was, and politics, and culture. And it's just amplified to the nth level. And it all comes from that McMahon way of doing things and the Stern way of doing things. You know, the 90s were great, but look where we are now.
I watched the first 3 episodes. I haven't went beyond that. The first 1 to 2 I really enjoyed, especially because that was the era that I watched it, when they showed those old clips of WrestleMania at the Silverdome.
Mm-hmm.
That was my Hunger Games. That was everything to me when I was 10 years old when that came on. And so seeing all that stuff and all the behind the scenes stuff from that, I thought that was really cool. But then as it went on, and then you saw just what a sleazebag Hulk Hogan is. God, he's such a scumbag, which I knew he was, but he really is a scumbag.
Oh, then you'll like Jim Cornette's. There's an omnibus of him on his page where he just talks about all the lies. So his guy that he does the show with will tell him a lie. We'll just repeat one of the lies that Hogan has said. And it's great. But the eyebrows. Jesus, the eyebrows. McMahon's eyebrows. That face. That face. He looks like Jocelyn Wilderstein.
He's pretty rough looking. You know who still looks good, though? Mouth of the South. Holding up.
Yeah, he does. All that dye. I met him a couple years ago when WrestleMania was in Atlanta. And he sat down and talked to us. And he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good. But up close, that hair dye, you can see. Like when I met Casey Kasem and he was sweating. And so all the hair dye was running down in the sweat.
Yeah, he pulled a Giuliani on you?
It looked like Giuliani at that, that thing in 2021. Did everybody watch The Penguin episode 2?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thoughts on that? Because it's a good show.
I got to say that I was pretty baked. And the next day I woke up and realized that I don't remember a lot of it.
No.
No. All you need to know is he's a slimy bastard.
He yeah. is a slimy bastard. He's really good at working both sides, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's slippery. He lucks himself out of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. 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 Kid. Hey. No. Hey. Kid. Yeah.
Remember the kid in the grave? Remember that?
The kid in the grave. Yeah. That.
All right. Yeah, let me help you out of there, kid. I'm telling you.
The machinations of the Penguin, though. I love it. I want Batman in a Batman property. You're not going to get Batman in the Joker movie. You didn't get him in the last Joker movie. But I do want to see something eventually. And we talked about that last week. Dustin had a good sort of set a timeline for us. We won't see him this season, but I imagine if it continues after the movie, whatever, we'll see him.
It's a limited series. I don't think it's meant to go beyond one season. Yeah,
I do like that he's playing the Maronis against the Falcones, and he's sort of weaseling his way in with Sophia.
Yeah, he did a good job this week.
Yeah,
he's like her number one guy now.
Yeah, and he made that happen, sort of happened by accident.
And we did get to see my favorite actress.
Yeah, she was in it.
They're making a fool out of you.
Last week, I thought she was a Falcone, but she's a Maloney, huh?
Do you think that she really believes that, though? Do you really think she trusts him?
I do now. I do, because of the way... Yeah, I do. I think it was positioned that way. And obviously, you know... The Penguin, unless there's a big rug pull, the Penguin becomes the Penguin, right? So what happens to her? She gets thrown back into Arkham. We'll see.
I really want to get into these seven women, though, these stories of why she killed them. And was it all at once? Was she stalking them? Like, what's the deal?
You certainly saw her cousin's reaction when they were talking at the funeral.
Mm. Yeah, didn't want her daughter close to him.
Her cousin was like, hey, we should do a girl's trip. And then she starts saying, oh, your barrette's messed up to her cousin's little daughter. And then you saw the fear in her eyes. So they must know something that they haven't told us yet.
And it says there's 8 episodes.
Okay. All right.
So we got 6 left. And they're doing it the right way. We can watch it once a week. Unlike what I'm going to have to do with Bad Monkey, which just binged the last couple of episodes. And I am behind on Hell's
Me too. I haven't finished it either. I got to finish it.
But we have to talk about Apocalypse Watch. All right, we dodged a proverbial bullet here in Atlanta and Georgia for the most part. Southern Georgia got really whacked because the hurricane winds and stuff. But we were talking last week about we were anticipating this thing coming in, this Hurricane Helene, whatever the fuck. And I stayed up. I was paranoid. I had anxiety.
Yeah, sorry your house blew up, Timmy.
Yes. And... when I saw the storm, I was giving Steph anxiety. She calmed me down, and then I texted her later, and she's like, you gave me anxiety, you asshole. And I remember that. And I watched the storm. I watched the eye of the storm tick east and start to go northeast a little bit. All right, I can go to bed, and you know, we'll just get minimal rain and stuff. And that's pretty much what happened. Well, we got a ton of rain in Atlanta, but not super bad winds. But it just went right up the chute into Appalachia and caused so much damage and caused loss of life, loss of property, loss of vehicles, loss of towns. And it's been pretty goddamn awful if you live in that area. And we know people that live there. I know a couple people that live in Asheville. My cousin in Charlotte, his sons, one or two of them live near or in Asheville. My friend Rob and our friend Garrett, who's going to be joining us in a few minutes, he lived in Asheville. He's now safely in Richmond. but it must have been a couple of harrowing days. And not even just Asheville. Every little small town that was tucked away in a hill or a little place where people like to go hiking or people like to go visit, all gone, just completely wiped away. And thank God that some of those dams that everybody said would likely blow or collapse, they held, which says a lot about, you know, pre-21st century American engineering, because they built those things to last. But it was what do they call it? A thousand-year flood or a biblical flood?
Yeah, thousand-year flood.
But on top of that, then, you know, a couple days go by, all right, we're all in the clear. And then this chlorine factory in Dustin's neck of the woods, Conyers, just catches on fire. And this thing looks like a nuclear bomb went off if you looked in the sky. Or Mount St. Helens would be a more appropriate, you know, if Mount St. Helens had orange smoke coming out of it when it went off. This was a scary looking thing. They had this huge fire and I didn't even know anything about it. And Dustin, how is your town? And it made national news for the first time. This has happened at this place before, right?
It happened in, the first time it happened was in 2004. And I wasn't living in Conyers yet. I was living in Griffin, but I was commuting to Conyers for work. And on my way to work, I saw it. And yeah, you were exactly right. It looks like Mount St. Helens blew up and is a giant plume that goes into the sky. It happened again, though, in 2016 and in 2020.
See, those, I remember those.
Those were smaller.
Yeah.
What they do, they store chlorine and other pool chemicals there, and they bag, and it's a place where they
How come pool chemicals can't get wet? That's what I wanted to know.
It's the raw chemicals. It's the chemicals that's used in the mix before they get you get the mix that goes out into the commercial area. You've got the raw ingredients there.
Okay.
The problem is the raw ingredients, like we've all seen, is reactive to water. Well, obviously, I think they were storing product in the office areas because they don't use the offices. But they're extra storage. So basically, by cutting the rules, they open themselves up to this happening.
Mm. So will they face consequences for this colossal fuck up? Because listen, the day after the fire was raging, I got up
Monday.
In the morning. Monday morning, I got up to take. You know, I get up in the morning. I look outside. Oh, it's a little foggy. I didn't know what it was. Then I go outside to, you know, have a cigarette or whatever and a cup of coffee before I wake up my son. I'm like, stinks out here. Don't smell like this normally. And so I get him up and he looks out the window and he goes, Daddy, what is that smoke? And I said, it's not smoke. It's fog. I still hadn't figured it out. And then I started getting texts from Steph. Steph, you're at work and you're a lot closer than Tucker was. And this shit was all over the city.
Oh, yeah. Lawrenceville. It happened. I go back to my desk and I'm like, why is it all smoky outside? And then all of a sudden I started tasting like a bleachy taste in my mouth. And I'm like, oh, hell no. That damn cloud has made it here. Because my coworker, she lives literally like 3 minutes from this factory. She was sheltering in place until they forced her to evacuate Sunday night. So I had been texting with her. And I'm, you know, I feel bad for her and blah, 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 and everything she's going through. And then it's coming for us. I go to the front of the office. We have big glass windows there. All the chicks up there are like, what the hell is going on? So we all realized it. That's what it was that cloud. So we had people get sick. We had a chick in the lab. She started throwing up, had an asthma attack. They had to take her out by EMS.
Oh,
it was crazy. I had to run upstairs to our storage room and get the old N95s that, you know, we've had since COVID or whatever, bring them down. Everybody's wearing N95s in the office. Maintenance guy had to hurry up and shut the AC off. But the cloud, it stayed with us for a good while. Poor Dustin, he was out in it. The guys were outside doing the lawn. We're like, oh my God, I don't know how to speak Spanish, but I want to tell him, get the hell out of here. What are you doing? So it was crazy.
And now we're what? Almost a week away from the fire.
Yeah. And then tomorrow morning, it's supposed to be blowing back this way again.
Yep.
Tomorrow morning.
Now the fire itself is out. They were able to get the fire out Monday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's collapsed. So the building itself, water from the fire engines that put out the actual fire on the rest of the building is seeping into what remaining product is still there, and it's causing a reaction. And as of today, there's still a plume. I mean, it's Wednesday.
Can't they put something on it to stop that?
No. I mean, they can't. It's once the reaction starts, once moisture gets into it, you can't stop it. You can't separate it.
And, you know, poor Mike Hall, one of our amazing sponsors who we love so much, who owns Atlanta Pizza and Euro, he's having to, you know, go out and let people know, hey, we are open. You can still come here and have pizza. You know, Mike's such a badass. And even today he showed pictures. You can see the plume like behind him from the pizza place.
It was blowing the other way from where he is.
It was, but you could still like see it in the background.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not even, like a quarter of a mile from him. And that's the weird part. The way the wind's set up, anything below I-20, nothing. Fresh, clean air, not a problem. Above I-20, it's like walking into an indoor pool who just got treated with chlorine.
And how bad is this?
Well, if you listen to the people telling you how bad it is from the news, they say, it's fine. It's well within range of being safe. But like you said, you get people who, if you're, asthmatic or, have issues like that. Yeah. I mean, it's still there.
You can taste it in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a headline. High likelihood inner metro Atlanta smells chlorine, sees haze tomorrow as winds push plume west. More haze odor expected for Atlanta from Rockdale Chemical Fire. So yay. Thank you. Whatever.
You get that to look forward to tomorrow morning.
Yep. Wonderful. And meanwhile, it's fucking hot again because we live in Georgia. And so there's that.
But then every time you think about it, then you think about like the lady I read today where she was trying to go check on her business in Asheville. She lives 40 minutes away. And on her way there, she almost died like 3 times because the road was crumbling. And then she started seeing like dead animals everywhere. Then she saw dead bodies. Like sticking out of the mud. And she called 911 and said, there are like literally dead bodies. And they were like, yeah, we know about it. We're trying to save live people right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fucked up. Too bad Appalachia isn't in Ukraine. Maybe they get some money and equipment. But, we're busy and we have our money elsewhere and our National Guard elsewhere. But my TikTok is pretty much all seeing all that footage and the damage that was happening up in Appalachia. And now I'm seeing people are complaining because, we reserved a room. We were going to go here. We were going to Asheville and they won't give me my money back. And they're complaining about it. Like, lady, people are dead. Hundreds of people are probably dead that maybe, who knows? I'm not going to speculate on the number, but people that might not even ever be found because their body is below a ton of wood in the bottom of a lake someplace or in a river someplace or carried off by an animal or something like that. Don't worry about your deposit. Take it as a loss. And I see in the notes here that, Steph, you had some stuff booked up there.
Yeah, I had 2 rooms booked for me and my niece and her husband. And she was going to be meeting me. She was coming from Kingsport, Tennessee. And this is my first time to visit Asheville. As a matter of fact, I was so excited about it. And it's a loss. It's non-refundable. And I just take it as basically it's a donation.
Yeah. I just saw that. I didn't get to that. You must have just posted it or I just saw it or something. But that woman who was bitching, she's defending herself.
She's trying to explain, I understand and I've been through hurricanes and all this other kind of stuff, but it's just the point of it is that they should have something in place for such a.
The thing that happens once every 1,000 years.
Thank you.
We should be ready for that. We should.
Exactly.
It's not the coast it's not the Gulf Coast. It's not the Atlantic Coast. Where they understand that these things happen from time to time and they know living there. This could happen, but I'm going to live here anyway. And for the rare times that it hits like Wildwood, New Jersey and destroys the billboard or the boardwalk, or if it hits Atlantic City and floods, or it hits Long Island and floods, they know that too. It's very rare. But for a storm to go up like that and dump 15 to 25 inches of rain or even more in the mountains after they just got 7 inches of rain from a storm that was there the day before, listen, you're not getting your money back, lady.
Just move on. Just be glad that you weren't there when it happened. And you're not trapped there. Like a lot of people were trapped there that were there vacationing, Airbnb-ing and whatnot.
Well, there's a Hurricane Helene pet food drive going on, because when people can't afford or have no way to get food, well, guess what? Their pets can't get food. So on top of baby formula for the kids and just basic necessities, paper towels, toilet paper, all that wonderful stuff, which, by the way, we're not even going to get into this. But, yeah, there's going to be a shortage of that in a couple of months, maybe. Anyway, Hurricane Helene pet food drive. Steph, you posted it in there. Tell us about it.
So people- it's just put on by Canine Pet Rescue, who I'm a huge supporter of, Judge Carla Brown. She sits on the bench here in Gwinnett. And this is her. She rescues mostly German Shepherds, things like that. But she's putting this together. That's why I know it's reputable. And if you, Dustin's going to post it, but there's a bunch of drop-off locations, and this is just going to be ongoing. And she's got locations all over in Gwinnett, in Cobb, in Fulton. I mean, there's all kinds of places you can drop stuff off at. So
nice.
If you would donate whatever you can for the pets.
And caninepetrescue.com is the website.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dustin will put the link up.
All right. Let's welcome to the show someone that I've known for 20 years now, almost. Good guy, all around good guy, by the name of Mr. Garrett Phillips, who was there when this was all going on. Garrett, hello. Can you hear us?
Hey, man. What's up, everybody?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks. I've made my exit to Richmond, Virginia. I'm now a refugee here. And with mixed feelings, I left because, Steph, you'll appreciate, I really miss the two kitties that are back there still. The neighbors are going to swing by and take care of them, but my landlady left the day before yesterday, and I left yesterday. Hopefully it won't be too long.
Well, tell us what happened. Did you expect any – were they predicting any of that rain? Because I was saying earlier that when I saw the eye moving to the east and the north, I was relieved, and then I felt bad that I was relieved because of what happened. But anyway, you weren't expecting anything like that up there, were you?
No, I wasn't, and I was in Key West or Marathon from like 6 days before that.
Didn't you race home? You race home, and then you got hit by the hurricane after you got
home. Yeah, yeah. I went from Key West. They canceled my flight like six hours before, and I was hell-bent to do it, so I drove to Fort Lauderdale and got basically the last flight back into Asheville, and we were all triumphant. You know, they were about to cancel that. They were talking about it at Fort Lauderdale, and they announced that we're going to board, and everybody's high-fiving and like, hell, yeah, yeah. We were, like, celebratory, and that celebration lasted about 18 hours maybe. And, yeah, that was about 7 in the morning. That's when my window blew in, and because a tree fell down and just missed my house and hit the next house. And then there were gale force winds coming through as I was trying to put a tarp up and all that. It was quite alarming, needless to say.
But your house wasn't flooded, right? You didn't?
No, no, not at all. Most of Asheville in general is not flooded because it's pretty high. It's the lower part down by the river is, and down by Biltmore, the most famous pictures from Biltmore
right.
are down. That's down low. But the majority of Asheville's up high, and downtown never lost power, and basically no trees went down or anything. But the outlying areas, when I drove out, the first day that was available to drive out I-40 was yesterday. And when I drove out, I drove past all of the, you know, there are mud slides on the freeway, and you could tell where trees were across. They'd finally cleared. And then I went through the hardest hit areas like Swannanoa and Marion. That's where a lot of that, well, they got hammered with a 1,000-year rainfall totals in 2 days. They say it would happen about every 1,000 years is what I mean by that.
Wow.
And then the other problem is you have like Mount Mitchell is not far from there, the highest point in the eastern United States. And they got 25 inches of rain in 2 days. And that obviously goes downhill. And a lot of it went downhill into the areas that got their enormous amount of rain. So
some towns just gone, right? A couple of towns just vanished.
Yeah, just Chimney Rock was completely wiped out. And then just little details. There's so much going on. You're getting updates on the radio. Like, and they'll just mention in passing, oh, the Marshall is north of Asheville, they'll just mention like, yeah, Marshall, the fire station is gone. You know, that they, just so you know, the fire station's gone. So if you need this, you need to do this instead. Just that one in passing, it was just mind blowing. What became just like something you would dwell on normally for 5 minutes, you would, they just shot by because there's so much other stuff to talk about or mention it now.
Now, are you going back?
I have to wait for water to come back on first. That's my main thing. And we had power at our house and internet, but we were really lucky in our area to have it along with downtown. Well, I'm just north of downtown.
Wow.
But yeah, I'm not real fired up about going back without water.
I was reading your blog, and out of all the sad stuff that I've been watching and reading, your blog is so whimsical. You're on a first date right after this hurricane or whatever. You're going to get water from this lady.
That's the funny thing about that was we're all in this together, obviously. And I think that carried over because normally when this is a match.com date, we'd gone back and forth and couldn't get a time for about 9 days. And we finally had a time, and it happened to be when I was out of water and she has water.
Perfect.
And normally a woman would say they're reluctant to give up their phone number, let alone their address, before you even meet them. And she just invites me over on like a gray after late, you know, dusk with no light in the house. Hey, come on in. Here's some water.
I'm surprised you left because I feel like you could have cleaned up.
You mean cleaned up in a figurative sense?
I mean, yeah.
Not in the shower sense.
In the right. Single ladies department there.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, there seems like a plot for adult movie would be in there somewhere.
Yeah, apocalypsedating.com. You know, you could get this whole thing going here.
Apocalypse.
Yeah, that's funny. But I was kind of reluctant to leave because the sense of community was so much. It was so, I don't want to, well, it was fun. You know, you ran into all your neighbors. All your neighbors are all around and you can help them. You're helping each other out. I was going around with a handsaw, helping people cut, you know, branches and stuff. And finally putting a face with the house, you know, it was pretty cool. And then there's a lot of restaurants were giving away food because it was going to spoil otherwise.
Right.
So they're cooking up free food and all that. It was a good sense of community.
Well, we're glad that
there's a little cave.
Yeah, why'd you go to Richmond? You got family up there?
Yeah, this is coincidentally where I wrote out COVID. When I lived in L.A., I was working when COVID hit, working as a limo driver. And the first thing that went was as soon as COVID hit, that job went away. And I came here to ride it out, you know, for a couple, 3 months. I figured COVID, whatever. That's what people initially thought. And I ended up here for 29 months because I get along really well with my aunt and uncle. We have a blast. And yeah, this was a natural thing. My sister lives here, too. And, you know, my nephew and other people. So it's nice to have this 5 hours away. I'm really lucky for that, too. I feel very fortunate for that.
Was there going to be a second date?
Yes, I did text her back. She's a little jealous that I was able to make an escape. I said, no offense, but I got to look out for number one. But I'll keep you up to date on that.
I read your blog, so yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad. Speaking of that, the blog, I believe it's Substack. If you go to Substack and search, but we digress, that's the name of the blog. And speaking of dating, that also has a 15-part, I chronicled all of my 1923, my 2023 dating travails in Asheville, which came to 25, I think, total. And there are 15 parts of that, tales about my dating. And I'm not the most optimistic guy in the world. Tim would know I'm kind of a cynic. But it's really stupid to think about how I could still be optimistic when I'm 0 for 25 in 2023. And I'm like, wow, this is the year. Definitely, I'm in.
You have to wait for a natural disaster to come along to find love.
Yeah, not even a biblical flood will stop Garrett from a date.
Right.
In the light of an 0-20, 0-25 streak.
Right. All right, Garrett, man, thank you for joining us. We're glad you're safe and enjoy your time in Richmond.
Thank you, sir. Thanks. And y'all, good luck with everything. And I'll talk to you later. Yeah.
Thanks again to our guest, Mr. Garrett Phillips. And if you're an old Regular Guys fan, in Regular Guys 2.0, he was known as the 40-year-old intern. Well, we're much older than that now. But again, before we move on, Hurricane Helene Pet Food Drive, go to K9PetRescue.com.
Bloody brilliant.
Oh, thank you for that assessment, Mr. Weasley. Perhaps it would be more useful if I were to transfigure Mr. Potter and yourself into a pocket watch. That way one of you might be on time.
Vampires. The Hominis Nocturna. We hunt them, you see. They're hard to kill. They tend to regenerate.
Who the fuck are you guys?
Who the fuck are you?
Oh! You're dead. You know who you're fucking with?
No. Why don't you tell me about it? Make sure you're speaking to the microphone.
Marvin, Marvin!
Holy shit, Jack! You got him!
Marvin!
Pete Rose is 1 out of 15. He leads it off here in game 5. That was way back, and it is gone. He hits the first pitch for a home run.
You know I didn't mean it that way.
Give me one good reason why you married me.
You was pregnant.
Guess I was wrong about you. You're not such an asshole after all.
No, you were right. I'm just your kind of asshole.
Son, I'm just gonna tell you this one time.
Yes.
You want to keep working here, stay off the drugs.
Yes.
I don't give a damn who you are. This is America, Jack. Now, you say one more word about Lisa here, and I'm going to break my foot off in your royal ass.
There has been an apocalypse in pop culture in the last week. In that week, we've lost Dame Maggie Smith from Downton Abbey and Harry Potter. That's probably the most she's been in of late, but she's an Academy Award-winning actress. Or was, and been around for a long time. We lost John Ashton, who we just watched in the Beverly Hills Cop 4, or whatever it was called, Axel Foley, right? And a bunch of other things, but most noted for being in the Beverly Hills Cop movies and also Midnight Run. Watch your cigarettes around this guy, Jack. Frank Fitz from American Pickers. At a young age, he was 60 years old.
Yeah, he'd had a stroke a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
He picked the bucket.
Oh, he found the honey hole. He found the honey hole.
He found the honey hole and fell into it. Atlanta Hawks legend Dikembe Mutombo, he passed away.
Yeah, sad. He had a brain tumor.
Yeah, and then Rob Schneider tried to blame it on the COVID vaccine.
Yeah, what an idiot.
And just stay away. Stay out of that lane.
Dikembe, man, you watch the reel on him on ESPN, I was bawling my eyes out. God bless it. He was such a humanitarian.
Yeah, and really nice.
Yeah, super nice guy.
And very, very fan-friendly, a fan favorite. I mean, the Hawks are the Hawks, but, I mean, we've had guys play for that team that, you know, are really cool people. And sorry, Rob Schneider. I like you and everything, but, you know, just don't go there anymore. Who else? Drake Hodgson, who I didn't know. I had to Google it.
Hogestein.
Okay, thank you. That makes sense. So you're a soap opera viewer.
Yeah, he played John Black on Days of Our Lives. I'm talking about like when I was a kid. When I was like 8, 9, 10, 12, whatever, you're home, you're sick, you don't
you're
go to school,
your,
or
watching your stories.
Exactly. It was him and Marlena, their love affair. And he was a big deal to a lot of people. For a long time, I thought he was so gorgeous when I was a kid.
I can hear the strings right now. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Like, sand.
What was it? It was the, I remember the storyline of them crashing on that deserted island.
Oh God!
You
yeah,
that? And then you find out at the end that the other side of the island is a resort, and they just walk in.
Yeah. They steal that from Gilligan's Island. Chris Christopherson, actor, singer, Highwayman.
Whistler.
Yeah.
He was in the movie Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, which became the TV series Alice. He was in Convoy, right?
With Convoy.
Ally McGraw. And The Star Is Born from the 70s with Barbara Streisand.
Blade.
And so many things. Real good actor. Wrote Me and Bobby.
Yeah, I'm surprised how many people don't know he wrote that.
Yeah.
He started out in the, when he moved to LA, he got a job as a janitor.
Mm-hmm.
And would just in the studio, just so he could hang around those people. And I think it was Waylon Jennings.
Yep.
Took him under his wing. And yeah. And he told him, keep practicing. That's what he told him when he heard him sing for the first time.
I was a damn builder. Pete Rose passed away, and maybe now the sanctimonious pricks at the MLB will allow him to go into the Hall of Fame. It's too bad.
I bet they don't.
Yeah, oh, they will. Why wouldn't they? They said he could.
They're assholes.
Well, he's dead. He had a lifetime.
That doesn't forgive him for why they banned him.
Yeah, I know, but they're funded by gambling now.
Yeah, give it 5 years. He'll be in there.
Yeah, but I bet it's not going to be this year. No.
No.
It might change of regime,
and then he'll be in there.
Pete Rose should have been in a long time. He should have been in a long time ago. He should have been able to enjoy being in the Hall of Fame. Mark McGwire.
After he retired, Sosa. They should have let him.
Yeah. Well, that was a little too soon. Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Alex Rodriguez, Roger Clemens. Those guys all belong in the Hall of Fame because they've let other steroid users in. They just let steroid users in that were nice people. Jeff Bagwell. You know, Barry Bonds was an asshole, so I can't have him in there. I met him. He was nice to me, but I'm probably an outlier in that.
Did they say it was a lifetime ban from the Hall of Fame?
For Pete Rose, yes.
And now his lifetime's over, so they can let him in.
Right. They could put him in ASAP. He was on. He was a mystery guest on Howard Stern in 1994, and Billy West was still on it, and they had the Jackie puppet, and they did a whole bunch of, well, let's just say out-of-date humor with Marge Schott that Billy West would do, you know, from the Cincinnati Reds. But I took a screen grab of it. I found a video, and I'm just going to say tweet. Everybody knows. No one calls it X. Tweet. I tweeted it to Billy West, and he wrote back a funny joke. And then I posted Herman Munster, and he wrote, "Oi, boy, Herman." But that's 30 years ago, you know, and that's the era of Stern that I can still go back to and laugh. And last but not least, and I saved this one for last because this one is weird. I mean, I'm not surprised that he passed away. I've been following his son's Instagram TikTok. For a long time. And not on TikTok, but on Instagram. I didn't know he was on there. But his son is really cool, Casey Amos.
Looks just like him, too.
Yes, he does. And they were hanging out in Jamaica and whatever.
Yeah.
But John Amos, who was probably one of the first fathers our generation saw in a sitcom on television. He was a serious person. That show, Good Times, started out as one thing. It ended as another. He left early. They killed him off because he didn't want it to be the JJ Says Dynamite every 10 minutes show.
Yeah.
It was really supposed to be about he and his wife, Florida, and, you know, their kids and everybody working and struggling.
Scratching and surviving.
That's right. And then he got fired from that show, but that allowed him to go beyond Roots. And you know, the rest is history. He's had a very storied career, but he was the adult Kunta Kinte on Roots. Even before Good Times, he was a weatherman, wasn't he, on the Mary Tyler Moore show?
Yeah.
And he threatened Ted by his masculinity and his ability. And then, of course, Gen X, we grew up seeing him in a bunch of things. The Beastmaster, which everybody's seen a million times. That poor tiger that they painted purple.
McDowell's.
Coming to America.
Your Pretty Face.
Your Pretty Face. Die Hard 2. He's in the very last episode of Your Pretty Face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The weird thing that's coming out is that he actually died on August 21st. And it wasn't released until yesterday. And I guess there's some family drama between the daughter, his daughter, and the brother.
His daughter was estranged, I think.
Yeah, and she found out about it on Twitter.
Yeah.
And what was the sister's name on Good Times? I saw her on Instagram talking about it. I'm sure if they asked Jimmy Walker, you go, I didn't know him. We weren't friends. I just went on that show. I love watching that clip of him. I didn't know any of those people.
Thelma? The chick who played Thelma? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, Bernadette Stanis. She was upset too. It was an Imagine show, but I wonder what she did after that show.
News, trailers, and trends with Steph.
Let's talk about Diddy. What's the latest about Diddy without talking about this one thing you put in there?
Well, it starts off with Diddy's lawyer saying that so what if he had 1,000 bottles of baby oil? Like you don't shop at Costco? He just bought a bunch of baby oil at Costco. And then Costco's
does it go
like,
bad?
Well, Costco's like, he didn't buy it here because we don't sell baby oil.
Oh.
So, it is a little weird for people to have 1,000 bottles of baby oil. How are you even going to go through one bottle of baby oil?
Yeah, one bottle goes a long way.
long, long way.
Also, the rumors that are out today that I saw with the baby oil is that the baby oil, they didn't think about it at first, but now they're starting to test the baby oil. And they're saying that some of it contained GHB.
Get
that in an orifice and it will basically like Ruflin.
That makes sense, Dustin. I mean, I personally know that baby oil would not be good for penetration. I don't think you'll definitely end up with some sort of a bladder infection, I think, if you're a female. I don't know what happens if you put it in a butt. But I do know that that's not what you would ever want to use as a lubricant.
Oh, well, it itches for a minute. you got to get a wash rag and put it on a dildo to help clean it out.
But luckily, Diddy is off suicide watch now because I guess he's come to terms with the fact that he's in there and his family's been visiting him. So
he probably got too hungry.
I guess he's decided he's going to eat now and he's off suicide watch. He might go back on it, though, because there was an attorney who popped up in Texas who he's saying that there's 120 people that he's basically representing that are accusing Diddy of molesting them in some way or fashion, and one of them is a 9-year-old boy.
That's
shit.
Damn.
A 9-year-old boy who went to the Bad Boy Studios, and he claims that not only was he molested by Diddy, he was molested by like a whole crew of dudes.
Well, there's a list of names that this lawyer was talking about, right? That other names are going to come out, and maybe even somebody bigger than Diddy.
Yes, this lawyer said...
He'll never come out. They'll kill him. They'll suicide him.
Well, this lawyer said that a pornographic film has been made of Diddy with someone who is even more high profile than him.
Who could that be?
I don't know. She has seen it, and she said that she did not... Obviously, they're not going to buy the tape, but whenever this comes out, that it'll be not too good for him, and everybody is wondering, who is it?
Not good for Diddy or not too good for the person?
Who is more high? Well, for anybody, I'd say that's in the video, but who is more high profile than Diddy?
That would go to one of his parties?
Oprah.
No.
it's not going to be Oprah.
I'm going to throw out Denzel.
Denzel no way. Had a fight with him. There's a headline right now that Denzel threw a fit and yelled at him and, left the party.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not going to be Denzel. Maybe Beyonce.
Oh, I think that's a given.
That's the only person I can think of that is more high profile than him.
Allegedly. Well, yeah, she is way. She's always been more high profile. For a long time, she and Jay-Z are way more high profile than he is.
But we shall see.
It wasn't me, I swear to God.
I like to wait for 50s Doc.
Yeah,
Leonardo DiCaprio, he can't even go in and out of a hotel without people screaming at him.
What about poor Bieber? That poor kid.
Well, who even knows? All I want to say is that this whole thing it's gotten so big that I can't deal with my mom telling me on the phone today that there's just because you were in a picture with Diddy doesn't mean you were at one of these freak-offs.
Your mom's defending.
My mom told me that. And I'm like, why are you... I don't ever want to hear you say freak-off again in my entire life. Don't ever say it again. Like, why are you following it this closely?
You ever been to one of them freak-offs?
No.
Well, I think it's because they got little Leonardo DiCaprio, and she's just like, oh, not my Titanic. He wasn't there. No way.
Dude, he's 45 now. He's going to let it go.
But this also rolled into her saying the word agnostic, but she calls it a knock-Nazi. Anyway.
Love that, a knock-Nazi.
Uh-huh. I had to really decipher that one to know what that meant. A knock-Nazi is agnostic. Another bad things that happened with the flood was a lot of scooters were bursting into flames down in Florida. And the city officials are like, these are not our scooters because we've got special batteries. These are just like personally owned scooters. So just so you know, if you have an electric scooter and there is a flood and you don't have one of these special batteries, it's going to blow up.
Great.
Yeah.
And there was a house.
Thank you.
Yeah. And there was a house that caught on fire because of an electric car parked in it. And they say that if you have an electric car and there is a flood or some such thing, you need to get that car to higher ground because it's probably going to blow up.
Damn it. Well.
And you can't pray to God because you're an agnostic.
Yeah, you're an agnostic. Well, you don't really know. You could pray because, you know, either way.
See, this is my mom, too. You know, when a Toonsie comes, you get flooded. Which, as we all know, a Toonsie is a tsunami.
A Toonsie. There's a Toonsie coming.
Oh.
It's the same with my husband's father, who, when you design buildings, they're designed by an architect.
Well, that one I like. Architect. I'm an architect. Hi, I'm an architect. Spooky season, which is the month of Halloween. So I thought it'd be fun every week if we all pick from a different genre, a movie, television show. And I started it this week by kicking it off. We each pick a post-apocalyptic horror film. And why did I choose that? Well, because we just went through the apocalypse, sort of. And so we pick one. And it's real simple, and we'll breeze through this. Mine is 28 Days Later. It's a very good movie directed by Danny Boyle, who did Trainspotting, The Beach, Slumdog Millionaire, among others. He's a very good director. And speaking of Cillian Murphy, he is in this movie, along with Brendan Gleeson, Christopher Eggleston, and Naomi Harris. It was a reimagining in a non-comedy way, like Shaun of the Dead. But it was a reimagining of the zombie film genre with, they had, what did they have? They had a disease called rage, which turned people into maniacs. And they were fast. They weren't the lumbering zombies. And it was scary. And if you've never seen it, I highly recommend you watch it. If you have seen it, well, watch it again, because you can rewatch these movies during Halloween. And that's my pick for Spooky Season Week 1.
Mine is Night of the Comet.
Love that movie. Yeah, love it so much.
Written and directed by Tom Eberhardt, starring Robert Beltran, Catherine Mary Stewart, Kelly Maroney, Mary Warnoff, Jeffrey Lewis.
That was Robert Beltran, Chakotay.
Chakotay. Yes.
From Star Trek Voyager. This is a great
Eating movie. Raoul.
Yeah. Oh, Eating Raoul. That's such a good movie. But I remember seeing this, and I didn't see it in the theater. This was a movie that came on HBO for me, but we watched it all the time. And I'm surprised
they haven't tried to remake it.
Well, I think it was because Kelly Maroney, you liked seeing her in that cheerleader outfit running away.
We've got a loose connection to Night of the Comet and Radio Labyrinth.
How?
If you remember in Night of the Comet, they had those military crew that was supposed to be, you know,
remember
the government. And if you look at their patch, it is a circle in a maze on the inside, a labyrinth. RL logo that we have, that maze is the maze from their patch.
And you knew that? And I didn't know that. That's cool.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that either.
So everybody, if you've never seen it, it's an 80s classic cult film that, again, I had it on VHS from HBO, so I watch it constantly. But Night of the Comet. Thanks, Jeff.
Let's see. Mine is The Road from 2009. This was the movie adaptation of Cormac McCarthy's book. And I know the stipulation was horror and post-apocalyptic, and I couldn't think of anything.
You lived in that world. You'd be scared if you're that little kid with him. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it starred Viggo Mortensen, Charlize Theron, and Cody Smith-McPhee. And that's the kid. He was amazing. And that whole movie is, like most McCarthy stuff, it's just miserably depressing. Yeah. This one's more realistic of what would happen, and it's so horrible.
I wanted him to stay in that underground shelter for the whole movie.
When they left, never leave. So mad. Yeah. That damn cart that they're pushing, and it's just in the mud, and it's just like, you just feel so bad for him the whole time, and it never gets any better than the first scene. Nope.
Steph, did you have one?
Yeah, I'll say A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And it was pretty scary to me and creepy. And, you know, what are you going to do with these freaking things? And you got to be dead silent. And it was directed by John Krasinski and written by Scott Beck and Brian Woods from a story they conceived. And Emily Blunt starred as one of the main characters. And it was a creepy ass movie. Most of the I've seen only one of the sequels. The other one I haven't seen yet, but the sequel was great too.
Yeah.
I watched day one. It was okay.
Oh really?
It didn't have the same magic as the other ones.
Yeah. Nah. You kind of went into it already knowing about them a little bit. Yeah. And it was better to keep them mysterious in my opinion.
Oh yeah. I hate it sometimes when they pull the curtain back. They pull it back too far.
Yeah.
I mean, it was never meant to be pulled back. It was enjoyable to watch, but it didn't capture the same feelings that the first one or the second one did.
Yeah, that first one, as soon as you see the little toddler get taken, you know what you're in for. Yeah. Like, oh, this movie is not going to pull any punches.
And that damn nail.
Yeah.
God, her trying to hold her. Well, she's having the baby.
Yeah, she's having to give birth.
Quietly totally have a baby.
Didn't they steal that from MASH?
Well, the situation, I guess.
All right. Thank you, guys. But if you out there have any ideas for recommendations, movies or a television show, spooky season, or what does Jeff say? Spoopy.
It's very spoopy.
Hi, everybody. I'm Casey Kasem. And this year, we go back to October 5th. 1982. The number one song was Jack and Diane by a singer known at the time as John Cougar. Of course, he went on to become John Cougar Mellencamp, and now he's an old lady who yells at his audience. The number one movie in America at the time was E.T. the Extraterrestrial, and you can get that now without the guns, just the way the director wanted it. The number one show in the country on television was Three's Company. What a great show, and what a mistake they made spinning off the Ropers. In sports, the Brewers faced the Angels in the American League Championship Series, while the Cardinals went on to sweep the Atlanta Braves to set up the 79th World Series. And happy 58th birthday to Beat Schmidt, the German serial killer who from October 1989 to April 1981 unalived 5 women and 1 baby. Known as the Pink Giant because of her size and penchant for pink lingerie, Schmidt was once known as Wolfgang until given a gender reassignment medication in prison, where, of course, she was accused of gendered inmate causing them to attempt self-unaliving. Happy birthday, Biot, and many more. Until next week, keep your head in the clouds and your penis attached.
Meanwhile, over in Conyers, they're still proudly serving East Metro Atlanta, and they have been for 40 years. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is the place to be this fall. Did you hear we changed it? It's football, cold weather, unless you live in Atlanta. Their featured beer selection this fall is Monday Night Brewing's Oktoberfest. It is a German-style Märzen lager with noble German hops for a subtle bitterness and a smooth, balanced finish. Perfect for the fall. They've got the best gyros, euros, pizza, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Dustin knows he eats there every day. Stop by Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m. and on Saturdays from 12 to 9. They are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Bring your smartest friends and test your trivia knowledge against the best Conyers has to offer. So if Dustin's there that night, you might have a good shot at winning. Their food truck is also available. Just contact Mike at 770-483-6228 for more details or to schedule your event. And Mike says, thanks for listening to the best podcast around and for all your business and continued support. Thank you for all your support to the best pizza place around. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for, dummy? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens since 2005, which is almost 20 years. With a fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
Guys, all right, let's read your YouTube comments. Pat Oppo says, those expose shows are frustrating because they could really tell most of these stories in an hour, and then they're like, here's 8 to 10 hours of stuff. And I think they're talking about the Menendez show on Netflix.
Yeah, that's true.
They are. Or even be talking about McMahon.
Mr. McMahon.
Yeah, Mr. McMahon. There's a lot of stuff in there. And plus in the Mr. McMahon, there's a lot of fluff. Like,
you know, a lot of guys, Shawn Michaels. And I got one eye over here and one over here. And yeah, I was nuts back then. Yeah.
Square Dance Callers Talking says, I've been a fan of Tim's impression. Oh, this one. Well, this one isn't. I sort of made reference to it, but I don't want to say. Thank you for leaving the comment, but this is about the Von Hessler Doctrine. But he likes my TikTok Ronald Reagan. And you can hear that on the Von Hessler Doctrine. But thank you, Square Dance Callers Talking. JJ says, whoever did the casting for the Penguin deserves some kind of BS Hollywood hunk of metal. The show was fantastic. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I think, a new person posting. Leonie Samuel says, please, Oprah ignorant. LOL.
You said it differently than the way I read the inflection.
Please, Oprah ignorant.
That's what I think it said. Yeah, please, Oprah ignorant.
Please, Oprah's ignorant. Oprah's ignorant.
Yeah, probably she knows what's going on. Pat Oppo wrote again, on the Agatha show, I liked it a lot. Except for the song, which I got so much cringe from, I almost had to fast forward. And Bradley Cowan writes, I need to correct Steph, who he calls her, that Justin's was named after Sean Combs' son. That is not Diddy's name. The restaurant sucked anyway. Love you guys.
I'm so glad. You know, and I knew when I said it, I'm like, this can't be right.
Yeah,
this
we all know
right.
Sean, but we're old.
There's one more on there.
Oh, read it.
Our Bradley Cowan, H8, is that it?
Yeah.
Tim, it's the same guy that corrected me.
Longtime fan since regular guys. Love this podcast, and I am a TV junkie for good shows. You are all on to something great. Keep it up. But how did you never watch The Shield? Classic.
Yep. Anytime television aficionados find out that most of us haven't watched it, they give a shit for it. And deservedly so, it turns out. I don't have time to watch it now because there's a lot going on, but it is in my queue, and I do like it a lot.
I loved it.
And thank you for the comment.
You watched it all, Steph?
Every bit of it.
You watched all of it, yeah.
Yeah. I told you, I watched the last... It killed me. The last episode, I was like, ah!
Views
or
and snooze.
Views.
And we're back.
And we're back. Jeff, give us views and or snooze.
Yeah, last week was Mr. McMahon, which we talked about Apartment 7A. That was the Rosemary's Baby prequel movie. Did anybody
is that
watch
good?
That?
You guys
I
watch
haven't
it?
Watched it yet.
No, I haven't, but I'm going to.
Yeah, I want to watch it, though. And Vice Presidential Debate. Sure
you know, Tim, I watched that last night. I watched it, and I'm a bit of a knucklehead.
I have to say this about that debate. At least they both sounded like normal human people having a debate about issues, as opposed to the clown show that
the running one was. Yeah.
No, this was very, it was very respectful.
I agree.
All right, this week's Views or Snooze, Salem's Lot.
That's a Views.
Views.
Oh, show. But it's not getting good reviews.
Who cares? We'll watch.
They got to remember it's Stephen King.
Yeah. And then the franchise starts this weekend on HBO on Max. This is it's set behind the scenes of they're making a like a superhero movie. but it's like one of the lesser known ones or something.
Right.
It looks like a pretty good. It's gonna be a pretty good show. Aya Cash is in it.
Oh yeah.
Billy Magnuson. I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, I want to see that. Isaac Powell. Yeah, I definitely am gonna watch it.
And then if you didn't get enough of the Ryan Murphy thing, the Menendez brothers documentary hits Netflix this week.
Yeah, baby. I'll be watching that.
Definitely be watching that for sure. The Menendez brothers.
This is a documentary, though, not a dramatized thing.
I know. This is the difference. I think he was Asian or something.
Asian. That's right. I think he's Asian or something.
Ben Stiller.
Oh my God. Oh my God. My kid brother's been shot. I think it was an Asian gang or something. I'm pretty sure it was Asian.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, guys. Thanks to Tim Allen, Matt Carter, and Brett Perkins for sponsoring Steph. Steph, are you still doing it? And if so, plug.
Walking for it's a breakthrough for a cure for diabetes, formerly the juvenile diabetes walk. I've been doing it for years and years. And my office, we have a whole team. So I'm looking for people to sponsor me. I'm now in third place on my team.
Yeah.
Nice.
Push Steph over the edge here. Come on.
Yeah, man. So I'm trying to get to 500. I'm almost to 300. So if I can get to 500, then I'll feel really good. I think I get a t-shirt. If you could sponsor me, that would be cool. Like Tim Allen, Matt Carter, and Brett Perkins. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Thank you, Steph. Let's see. No, I didn't do Trambles this week, and I apologize. I thought I'd make it 50 straight weeks and do it, but I didn't have time. Because there's a lot of stuff at work, and I couldn't get into the studio. But I will come back to doing it again next week. Speaking of work, WSB, Monday through Friday, Von Hessler Doctrine, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. 4 hours of fun and entertainment. And thank you to all the listeners who checked that out, because we were number one this last quarter. So that's really awesome. On the podcast, my show I do every Saturday night, when there isn't a football game this week, you have the drummer from Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Jeff Plate, a native of Horseheads, New York, and Jeff Tremaine, who was one of the co-creators of Jackass, who I spoke to about a show that Dustin and I both watched called
Nothing But a Good Time.
So check out that. Will be available this week at 7 p.m. on the WSB radio app or as a podcast next week. I got a cameo today, so I'll plug it again. If you're interested in a cameo, any voice that I do or challenge me or just me, go to cameo.com and look for Tim Andrews ATL. Jeff and I are going to Days of the Dead. I imagine you're going to go both days, right, Jeff? I'm going to go.
I'll probably just go one day.
It'll either be Saturday or Sunday. I'm not sure exactly which, but I do want to meet the guys from
Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah.
But if you would like, and you're in Atlanta and you want to go, today is Saturday, but you still have, you know, most of the day and then all day Sunday. It's daysofthedead.com/Atlanta2. You are watching this on YouTube. How about you like and subscribe and leave a comment that we can read later and turn on the alert so you know when the show is new. Dustin puts his back into this and, you know, he ignores his family. He doesn't feed anybody. He doesn't eat for a week. No, but Dustin works real hard on the show and makes it a show. So if you're out there listening, we love that you're listening to the show. If that's what you like to do, you're out for a hike or something, or, you know, you're driving around, you can't watch TV. That's great. But please, we ask you, go to YouTube.com, sign in, subscribe, and then you can just leave. Or you can watch it. It doesn't matter. You can also listen to it. Listen, I'm all over the place here. But thank you all for listening, and we appreciate all the new people who come in and stay. We'd love to hear some comments from you guys.
Sorry if the show smells like chlorine this week.
It does. It does. It really thinks of chlorine. Thank you to our guest, by the way, Garrett Phillips, up there in Richmond, who was in Asheville when that storm went through. If you'd like to support Radio Labyrinth, you can become a Patreon member. There are some Patreon changes coming up, especially if you have an iPhone. I don't understand it. I have to read it again because I'm a dummy. Don't worry about it yet. If you'd like to become a Patreon supporter, you can go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews, and you can sign up there. And if you come in at any level, you get our bonus show, which is what we record after the show every week, and you can get that on Wednesday. And I did remember to post it today. How about that? That's 2 weeks in a row. Or you can become an executive producer of the show at the $25 level and have your name read and show up there on the screen. And with that, you get a T-shirt and a printout of a drawing, or I'll just do a doodle for you and put it in the mail. It may take a while, but you'll still get it. So thank you to our $25 level executive producers, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and Chelsea Smith. And that's all I got this week, guys, unless you have something you'd like to add.
No, keep it canon.
All right, keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Well, they say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the radio labyrinth. And we gotta rock it like we're still young kids. Laughing at the world. But jokes never fade. Never fade away. And now the radio labyrinth will never be swayed. No way, no way.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.